Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we think about the Bible, we realize, maybe many people don't, but we realize the Bible is God's powerful word that he has given us for our benefit. My prayer for all of us today is that the Holy Spirit would work through that word, so we have to make use of it day by day, we have to open it up, we have to be open to it, and then may the Holy Spirit work through it in order to keep us hungering for that word, receiving that word, benefiting from that word. Now, have you ever had this situation come up where maybe you're sitting at home at night and you decide you're going to have a little snack, like just like one little snack? So you get the snack, and then that one little snack ends up expanding into maybe a second snack or a third snack. Has anyone ever had that happen? Okay, maybe it's just me. Okay, Miriam is with me back there. Okay, so anyway, what I'm hoping is that if you're not using the Bible every day, you're going to say, well, okay, I'm going to give a try what the pastor said. I'm going to read just a little bit in the Bible. And then, hopefully, when you read a little bit, the Spirit of God is going to be working through that word, and now you're like, well, I was only going to read 3 verses, but I think I'll read maybe 6 or 9 verses. So you end up getting into more than you had initially planned, and then you begin to really like it. Like, oh, this is a new snack I haven't had before. I really like it. I want to have it day after day. Hopefully the Bible will become that way. Hopefully it's going to become someday like our main course instead of just the snack. Well, anyway, today we're going to take a look at a little section in Joshua chapter 8, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and Matthew chapter 4. So let's go ahead and get to that now. As we go over to Joshua chapter 8, I want to focus on the topic of reading out loud. Reading out loud. So at this point in the Bible here in Joshua chapter 8, the situation is that the Lord is in the process of giving more and more of the promised land to the Israelites. They can't take it all at once, but little by little, God is moving them in and giving them more of the promised land. If you look in Joshua chapter 8, you'll see the account of God giving the city of Ai and all the residents of that city into the hands of the Israelites. A very interesting chapter. It shows like God's perfect military strategy in order for how they would take that city. You could read about that on your own, but they are completely successful with the great blessing of God. And then after that happens, what we see in the Bible is that Joshua, he gathers everyone together and he's expressing great thanks to God. And then he reads an important part of the Old Testament scriptures. So the Bible says, picking up in verse 34, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Quite an assembly of people, and they're all hearing the word of God. Well, you might have noticed that he read about the blessing and the curse. So what could we say here? The Bible is clear that if the people would continue to trust in the Lord and be obedient to what he said, oh, he would shower so many blessings upon them. But he also warned them and said, if you are going to distrust me and you're going to go your own way and you're going to do your own thing and you're going to be disobedient to me, then I'm going to shower you with a curse. Well, I have an assignment for you coming up later where I want you to read about the blessings and the curses. I'll tell you more about it at that time. But right now, though, I want to go a little bit further on this idea about reading out loud. Are you aware that until modern times, reading silently, even when you're completely alone, reading silently was virtually unheard of? This idea of today, you know, we're reading silently, it just wasn't something that was done a long time ago. Thinking about that topic, let's think about what happens when we read silently versus when we read out loud. So if we're reading silently, we are engaging the eyes and the mind. So we're looking at the words on the page, we're thinking about the words on the page, and that's it. What about when we read out loud? Well, we're engaging the eyes and the mind, but we're also engaging the voice. So as we are seeing the words and thinking about them, we are speaking them out of our mouth, and then they go right back into our ears. So it's at least doubling what we are doing when we read out loud. Now, I've experienced this so many times, countless times in my life, when I think about reviewing verses I have memorized. Now, there are times when I feel like I should be reviewing them silently. Like if I go to the barber shop and I'm waiting for my turn, I'm sitting there reviewing my Bible verses. But am I saying them out loud? I'm not. Maybe I should be. Maybe I could edify the whole barber shop. But anyway, I'm saying them to myself. But boy, is that difficult for me. Like I'm looking at the reference, and in my mind, I'm rolling through the verse, but I'm not saying anything. That is a difficult way to review those verses, but sometimes I'll do it that way. As soon as my hair is cut and I'm in the car driving home, what am I doing? I'm reviewing my Bible verses, but I'm saying them out loud. It is like completely different to review them out loud in comparison to review them silently. So with reading a part of the Bible, for example, to read it out loud again, you're engaging the eyes, the mind, the voice, and the ears, and that can edify us, and that could edify other people who might be listening to what we are reading. When I give you the challenge later, I'll mention a little bit how you might be able to go about it at home. For right now, though, let's go on to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So it's a familiar place in the Bible to us, and the focus here is continuing in the Word. A lot of things in life are good to continue. So getting into this section here, we know Timothy, he was a young pastor, so he assisted Paul in various ways, working under Paul's supervision. But by the time we get to this point now in 2 Timothy, Paul himself is coming very near to the end of his life. So he's communicating some very important things to Timothy. Like imagine yourself that you're about ready to die and your family is surrounding you, and let's say you're fully alert and you can talk, boy, wouldn't you be communicating like the very most important things you could think of to your family before you died? That's a little bit what Paul is doing here with Timothy. In this first part that I'm going to read, I want you to understand there's a huge difference between those who are repentant and those who are not repentant. Picking up in verse 12, the Bible says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Let's think about that for a moment. So people who are repentant, that means they have this godly sorrow and they have God-given faith in Jesus for eternal life. What can we say about such people? Well, they have a desire that God has worked within them by the Holy Spirit. They want to know and they want to do the will of God. I hope for every one of us, that's where we're at. Now, do we have that old nature too, wanting to pull us in the other way? By all means. But do we also have that desire, though, where we want to know and do the will of God? That is the mark of someone who is repentant. When we have that desire, at least sometimes, we're going to follow through with that desire. We are going to live in a godly way. And what is the Bible saying will happen when we follow through? We are definitely going to be persecuted. What does that mean? That means we're going to be pressured. So when God gives us that gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus, now we are clinging to Him. By the grace of God, we are clinging to Him. What happens when we are persecuted? That is a pressure that is trying to get us to back away from Jesus. Because what the pressure is saying, the more you back away, the more the pressure will be less, and the more your life will be easier. That's what persecution is. When I think about a friend I had back in high school, we were best friends and we did a number of things together. And then we continued to be friends for some years. And then finally, when God was working this significant change in my life back in my late 20s, that was a time when, how can I put it, God was giving me so much of His Word, and I'm wanting to tell my friend about what I'm finding in the Bible and about who Jesus is and what He has done. And finally, my friend said to me one day, he's like, Bob, I still want to be friends with you, but don't tell me any more about the Bible or Jesus. So that was a sad thing. So what he was doing is, see, I was here, and he was trying to say, I want you to back up from that some. Don't you be so close to that. Don't you be thinking about that so much. Let's just kind of have it like it was before. But what happened, though, by the grace of God, I continued in Christ, and not too long after that, the friendship ended up coming to an end. Not that we planned it out that way, but I think the Holy Spirit was at work. It was like you couldn't have it both ways, and that's just how it happened. But let's understand, though, that when God is at work within us, we're going to be living different. Some people are going to like that. Other people are not going to like that. And there is going to be pressure to stop clinging to Christ. Let's always know that He is most important. There is no other friend or family member or situation that should ever get us to let go of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then what about the unrepentant ones? Well, the Bible talked here about this idea of deceiving and being deceived. So I don't know if this is exactly where Paul was going with what he said here, but let me share something that maybe would be helpful for us on this idea of deceiving and being deceived. So there are some people that have this idea that they're doing okay, that they are Christians, that when the end comes, somehow they're going to be with God. There are people who are deceived about that, and then they can even deceive others. So let's say we even have a family member, maybe even a child, and he or she might say, oh, don't worry about me, Dad. I'm doing fine. I'm a Christian. So that is deceiving me. And then they can even be deceiving themselves. They can say, well, hey, I go to church sometimes. I look at the Bible sometimes. I know that God created the world. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And they can kind of go on and on trying to encourage themselves that they're doing okay. But let me tell you what happened in my life a long time ago. During a time in my life when I was not in Christ, and I was very much trusting in me and what I was doing during that time. Boy, think about how deceptive the devil is. What was the devil doing, or at least the forces of evil, what were they doing back at that time? They're basically giving me all this encouragement. Oh, you're such a great guy. You go to church. You're serving as one of the head ushers at the church. You're giving money to the church. You work so hard. You're doing everything right. Keep doing it. Everything is fine. You will be with God forever. So during that time when I wasn't trusting in Jesus, like the forces of evil are trying to convince me I'm in a good situation. And then when God opened my eyes to the truth, and now I'm clinging to Christ, what are the forces of evil telling me now? You no good, rotten person. Look at what you just said. Look at what you just thought. Look at what you just did. How could God ever accept you into heaven? It's just the opposite. Have you guys experienced that? But isn't that so deceptive, though? All of that stuff coming to us, we have to be so careful to pay attention to it. Whatever's coming to us and it agrees with the Bible, sure, let's agree with that. But whatever is coming to us that disagrees with the Bible, we just have to push that aside. We have to keep the Bible up here. We have to let the truth of the Bible dominate our lives. Like the Bible says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though the forces of evil tell us we're no good, rotten people, God says in Christ, we are forgiven. We are His holy children. So we always have to go with what the Bible says. And then continuing in this section here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to come to the topic of continue. So picking up in verse 14, Paul wrote, "You, however, Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that would be your mother and your grandmother, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, that is, the Old Testament scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So as people who are believers, let us know that the Word of God, that is our spiritual food, that is so vital, that is so important. Can anyone remember, we have to go back decades ago, and sometimes you'd have a prisoner in prison, and he didn't like what was going on for some reason, and he would say, "I'm going to go on a hunger strike. I'm not going to eat anything at all." And this would go on for days and weeks and months. And sometimes on the news you would hear, "Oh, so-and-so in such a prison, he's now lost this much weight and he's getting weaker and weaker and he's ebbing toward death." Sometimes the guys would go so far that they would end up dying, trying to get people to pay attention to the cause that they wanted to focus on. Other times they'd get like right to the point of death, they would begin to eat again, and they could recover, but sometimes even doing damage to their bodies in the process from not eating all that time. Well, God wants us to know that just as we need food for our bodies, we need the Word of God for our souls. So Paul is encouraging Timothy here, continue, continue, continue. So maybe I could say it this way. When we think about what we're doing with the Word of God, we should not slow down. We should not even kick it in neutral and coast. We should never stop, but let us continue. A couple of ways to continue would be to continue gathering here week after week, gather with us down the hall week after week so we can get into the Word of God, and then continue doing something in the Bible every day. God will use such things to keep us in Christ, to keep us strong in Christ, and even to grow us up further in Christ. Important things. And then as we continue here in this section and bring it to a conclusion, we come to a couple verses that are very familiar, picking up in verse 16. Paul wrote, "All scripture is inspired by God," so we know the process coming from God the Father to the Holy Spirit to the men who wrote it down to us today. So we have the very words of God, inspired by God, and then profitable, useful, beneficial for teaching. So God is working through the Bible to teach us. Once we learn, then the Holy Spirit can work through us to teach others. So profitable for teaching, for reproof. In other words, for showing us where we are living in sin. So profitable for reproof, profitable for correction. Oh, you're sinning here. So God makes that known, and then He corrects us, and He says, "Oh no, go this way. This is the right way to go." Look at all that instruction the Bible is giving to us. And then also for training us in righteousness. Here we are, the righteous children of God, so the Bible shows us how to live a righteous life. The Bible shows us how to be a chip off the old block. God is righteous. He's showing us how to be like Him. The Bible is giving us all that information so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So when we think about the Bible, it's important that we hear it and read it. It's important that we are open to it, that we spend some time thinking about it, and then it's important that we believe it, that we put it into practice in our lives, and that we share it with others. These are very important fundamental things. Let's go on to our final reading here, coming to our gospel reading. We're in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to focus here on how Jesus made the Word of God a high priority even over physical food. If we think about the end of Matthew chapter 3, what's going on? Jesus has just been baptized. Shortly after he was baptized, God the Father anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and that's when he officially became the Messiah, the Christ. What happened right after that? Now we transition over into chapter 4, and the Bible tells us Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Let's conclude and understand Jesus was in fact very hungry. The Bible says he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. If we look at it more carefully here, the word fasted comes from the Greek word nesteo. And what is the meaning of that Greek word? It means going without food. Can you imagine that Jesus going without food for 40 days and 40 nights? Now, it's not recommended, but is that possible? Sure, people have done it. If you think back to the hunger strikes there in prison, I think some of the guys maybe even went for 2 or 3 months without food. So it is possible. However, though, not recommended. What happened? Well, good news, Jesus did not listen to the devil. Think about the situation, though. Jesus certainly was hungry. Jesus is the very Son of God. Jesus could have taken the stones and turned them into bread and eaten them. All of that is possible. The temptation was so great because he was so hungry, and yet he did not sin. What was he doing? He was saying, "It is more important for me to focus on my Father in heaven, to do his will, and not do it my way in order to get some physical food for my body. When the time is right, God, my Father in heaven, he will provide what I need." Jesus always did everything in a perfect way. So Jesus was identifying the importance of spiritual food. He was not giving in to what made so much sense. What does he want us to do? He wants us to be like him. When we have the option of going with the physical part or the spiritual part, he wants us to go with the spiritual part. Let me tell a story that you've heard before probably, but it just fits right in here perfectly. So we had a member many years ago now, maybe 20 years ago, but she was a little German lady. She probably wasn't much taller than like 4 feet tall, just a sweet little lady, but she got into her, I think, early 90s. We visited a little bit. I had a devotion with her, and I was getting ready to offer her the Lord's Supper. So I had it all set up on her tray table, and everything was going great. And then the nurse came in the door, and the nurse had a little cup in her hand. You can imagine she had a pill in the cup. I don't know, this nurse must have been like Antichrist in some manner. Not the Antichrist, but Antichrist, because when she came into the room, she saw me standing there. And then she saw the Lord's Supper set up on the tray table. And here's this sweet little lady, you know, near the end of her life. And she ended up saying to her, "You can have this talking about the pain pill, because she was in pain, offering her a pain pill that would help her body. You can have this or you can have that, you know, pointing to the Lord's Supper. And that lady, she was just so kind. She didn't get upset or anything, but she said, "No, thank you. I'm going to pass on the pain pill for now. I want to receive the body and blood of my Savior." That she's like, "I don't want the physical comfort. I want this assurance that my sins are forgiven in Christ." So there are a lot of things in life that come up, and we can go the physical way, we can go the spiritual way. But God wants us to know that it's always better to go the spiritual way. Coming to the end here, I have some challenges for you. So first of all, going back to the blessings and the curses, my challenge here is for you to read through Deuteronomy chapter 28. So it's a little bit of a longer chapter. You can see it has 68 verses, but notice so that the blessings, if you look at how many verses we have for blessings, the curses are almost four times as much. When you read the blessings, you're going to be like, "Oh my goodness, God was ready to like open the floodgates of heaven and pour out all these great blessings upon them if they would only continue to trust in Him and go His way." But then, wow, if they're going to stop trusting in Him, if they're going to worship false gods, if they're going to go their own way, boy, did He have a heap of curses that He would shower upon them. So I encourage you to read through there. It's good for us to do. And when you do it, I would challenge you to read out loud. Now, if there is more than one person in your household, I would say to gather together, then you could take turns. You could say, "Well, hey, I'll read three verses, and then maybe we could just discuss it for a minute. And then you read three verses, and we'll discuss a little bit," and just kind of work your way through it like that. I think it would be a very interesting thing to read through there, to read it out loud, and have just a little bit of discussion as you're reading. That's the first challenge. The second one today is to pray. So pray for a strong desire to learn and live God's will in your life. I want to share with you a passage here that I came across many years ago, and it is such a wonderful passage. So it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 16, 9. It goes like this: "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." Think about the Almighty God continually scanning the earth. He's looking for those people whose heart is completely His, and He wants to so richly bless those people. Don't we want to be those people where we don't want to have a divided heart? If you get into the book of James, it talks about that topic, and literally when it talks about having a division, it actually literally says someone who has two heads. So it's talking about being two-headed. God is saying, "Oh no, have one head and have one heart and have it devoted first and foremost to our Lord Jesus Christ." What did Jesus say? "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." It's always best when we put Him first. And then finally, one last challenge here. I'm encouraging you to think about fasting just for one meal each week, one regular meal. Now, I don't know if anyone's eating three meals a day. If you are, that's 21 meals a week. So to fast for one of them wouldn't be that much. But anyway, though, like one regular meal, you're going to say, "I'm going to skip that meal. And during like the half hour or whatever that I would sit down and eat, I'm going to grab my Bible and spend time in the Bible for a half hour." So fasting is physically good for us, so that would be beneficial for the body. And then if you're spending a half hour in the Bible, that would be beneficial for the soul. So I would challenge all of you to give that a try. Well, a lot of things on the Word of God today, so let's think about this topic of reading out loud and give it a try, understanding the importance of continuing in the Word, and then making our spiritual food a higher priority than physical things. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that by your Spirit you would work powerfully within us to keep us hungering for your word, to know it is very powerful, and then enable us to receive it on a daily basis to greatly benefit. And as we benefit, may that overflow to other people in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.